Talofa, Bula, Malo. Welcome to Pacific Rugby Players Radio. All things Pacific Rugby, all things about us. A place where we take time to talk the big and small issues, share stories and have a few laughs with current and past Pacific Rugby players around the world. So whether on the team bus, driving home from training or on the physio table, sit back, chill and dig down deep on the issues that affect us. Pacific Rugby Players. Here's your host for today.
Talofa lava, everybody. Thank you for joining us again on another Pacific Rugby Players podcast. Privileged to be here. My name is Aidan Clark. I'm here with our personal development team online, ready for another great Zoom workshop. And today we're talking clothing and clothing businesses. How lucky are we to have two gentlemen by the name of Artie Sevier and Census Johnson, who don't need much of an introduction to talk about what they've done in the clothing industry. Both have set up new businesses, e-commerce, and we're really looking forward to having a chat to them about the tips and tricks that they may be able to pass on to players, things like suppliers, marketing strategies, time management while you're still trying to be a professional rugby player, all of that good juice. There's never been a time that's more important for all of us to think about the next chapter of our lives. One thing that this COVID-19 situation has put us in, and the uncertainty of what's going to happen across the rugby world, is that we all realise that we have to spread our skill set and do something for what we're going to do post-career and once you've hung the boots up. So this is going to be a great chat. This is something that interests many, and to have them online to share their experiences is going to be great. Grab your pad or pen, sit back, listen, absorb, and let's dive straight into the workshop. Welcome, everybody. See, name's starting to fill up. Thanks for joining us for another Pacific Rugby Players workshop. Been looking forward to this one. It's just like the rest, and especially the subject for me personally, has had a bit to do with clothing brands in the past, so I'm really keen to chat to these men and learn out a few of the challenges and get off the top. Not only just about clothing, but just rugby in general. Just a bit of housekeeping. If you're not talking at the time, please, if you could keep your mute on, just so we can keep the background noise down and listen to our guests properly and make sure everyone can hear. For questions, feel free to throw them down in the chat or put your hand up and we can jump on and do that. We've got some set questions to start off with, just to get the ball rolling. And our Pacific Rugby Players team here, Marion, Junior and Gaylene, they're all online fielding your questions and we'll send them through and answer them. So without further ado, welcome to Census Johnson, Artie Sevier. Good to have you.
That's awesome.
For both of you, I might start off with you, Census. How's isolation life, bro? Over there in front?
Yeah, we're heading into our sixth week now, so kind of running out of things to do at the moment, but just got to try and stay positive with what's been going. We've got a countdown of 3 weeks, so yeah, it's been a bit long, but things could be worse.
Yeah, man, things are all good here in New Zealand. We're quite lucky. We've got another week on level 4, and then we go down to level 3. So McDonald's open around then. So, but we're pretty blessed, man. Family's all good, so that's the main thing. And mum and dad, so we're pretty sweet here.
Awesome. I probably skipped a little bit about doing an intro for you guys because everyone knows pretty much who you are. Census, you've been playing rugby a long time up there in the north at various clubs in France and so forth, and now in Bayonne. And Artie, you're obviously really busy, Wellington Hurricanes, All Blacks. So I want the main focus of this to be around outside of rugby off the field. So we might dive straight into that and start getting the good juice for everybody who's online. What's up with you, Census? Front Row Supply Company, been around for a few years now, and I know that you've been busy while still playing rugby.
tell us about how you first got into that and why.
Yep, cool. We started Run Rogue Company going on to close to 5 years now. But it came by for my love of clothing. And at the time, it was probably real hard to try and find sizes. So lucky enough, at the time, I had my brother-in-law who's got a background in fashion. And he used to work for a couple of companies back in New Zealand. So we brainstormed a few things and Front Row came up. So that's how we kind of came along.
Nice. And
are
you?
Where
did yours
kick off? Yeah, we started in 2017, released in October. But the idea kind of, I had the idea of starting a clothing brand, just like Census. I was into my fashion at a young age. And when I come out of school, I've always wanted to kind of work on my own terms or start something on my own. And fashion was something that I was passionate about. So I thought I'd head down towards that and kind of been pondering on the idea, but really didn't take action until 2 years ago. And that wasn't until my wife finished her business and commerce degree and kind of kicked me into A into G and suggested the idea that we go into business together and start the clothing brand. And yeah, been in the fashion industry or the clothing biz for 2 years now.
So straight away, I'm hearing both of you didn't really dive in alone, that you obviously went into it and surrounded yourself with people with other skills. Would that be fair?
Yep.
Yeah.
Just with my one, is it just happened to be that my brother-in-law, who worked for the companies in New Zealand, he was able to guide me through all the processes and that sort of thing. So with my one, I was pretty lucky to have that sort of experience on hand. And it's someone I trust, and I guess that's one of the main things you got to really think about when you're starting a business, is starting it with somebody that you really trust and know that, you know, there will be bumps along the road and there will be those sorts of disagreements. But I mean, it pushes the brand to higher things. And if you can agree to disagree on a lot of things, it ends up being good for the label anyway. So,
yeah, nice. So people online here, players online, be really interested to know a little bit more about the detail. So you're obviously both following a passion. But that's all very well. There's plenty of people online who've got a passion and love wearing good clothes and enjoy quality fashion. So what's the first steps? What does it look like? And tell us about how the model that you've got set up now started.
Yeah, for us, it's crazy, man. I had no background in business or how to start something. I pretty much just winged it. Just jumped online and try to learn off guys like Gary Vee and follow the Ice Project, Isaac John, who was kind of doing a similar thing and kind of just mimic what they were doing. So our model, usually we use what Gary Vee kind of does, is like the jab, 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 right hook kind of theory, and that's providing so much value and content using the digital world so that when it comes time to sell something, people feel a connection to your brand and want to support. So that's kind of the model that we're kind of using at the moment. But pretty much we started locally, manufactured locally, and then started small. And then as it got popular and the demand got higher, then we looked overseas to scale bigger.
Nice. And you, Jesus?
Yep. So we're similar. We started sampling stuff out of New Zealand as well, because that's where majority of our market was Australia and New Zealand. We kind of had issues with shipping over to Europe, and it ended up being real costly. So Currently on a mission to try and find a manufacturer out in Europe that can help us out with that sort of thing. Otherwise, we just don't get any sort of interest with any purchases because the shipping costs way too much. But majority of our stuff comes out of Asia. We want to try and sample out of Portugal at the moment. So majority of our business is Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah, nice. Online today, I've got one of our board members, Selala Mapasua, up there, and he's in the corner of my screen. Lala, I think, welcome, bro. You got one of Census T-shirts on, actually, and ready to roll with a couple of questions. So, you got anything, bro, to kick off from that aspect?
I suppose the boat. Firstly, morning, gentlemen. To both of you guys, you coming through in your answer so far. You're very passionate and you love and right into what you do, and like a lot of us, I'm sure we all thought we were pretty trendy in our own time. Anyone can have want to do something, but what kind of forced you to get into it, or what kind of drove you guys to actually, right, I'm gonna do this, and then what kind of how was that beginning part of your journey for you guys? I mean, I suppose it's easy to say, I want to do this, but what was it that made you follow through with it and, I suppose, got you on the pathway to where you guys are now?
Jesus?
Yep, so what really got me on the path was just hearing a lot of stories with a lot of rugby players retiring and not having something else on the side. And those were one of the things that I kind of thought about at the time, but also having something else to do outside of rugby. I got to the point where, because I've played so long, you need that something else to think about and to get excited about, because rugby's rugby, you know. I tend to see a lot of the young boys just sit around and sit on social media and that sort of stuff, and I kind of didn't want to do that. And so instead of using my phone to go on social media, I just try to look for places that I could sample out of and that sort of stuff. And I think that's probably one thing that's important with starting a business, is to make sure you're proactive and making sure that you're doing those side things that you actually like, because it actually helps out with your rugby as well. Having that something else to think about and also not wanting to be one-dimensional. I think for my headspace over the last couple of years is I've done what I've done in rugby. It's now turning to something else outside of rugby that I can challenge myself to try and be successful at as well. That was probably one of the main things for me with starting the sort of things, just having something else in the pocket.
So awesome, Sense. So on that, how important for you is design and that and your input within in the design of your clothes?
Yep. So like I said before, we've got a good team. We're a team of three. With my brother-in-law and our graphic designer. So for us, it's important to have that separate look from a lot of marks at the moment, because it's such a saturated market now. There's so much competition. You have to stand out from what everyone's trying to do. So for me, that's probably the main thing. It's making people want to buy your stuff, why it sticks out from everybody else's, and that sort of thing. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Just to build on that and probably flip this one over to you, Artie, what about fear? So with any business, usually what's, look, 90% of people have ideas, 99% of people really drive about, I'm gonna give this a crack, but actually only 1% actually do it. And a lot of it is about internal fear, and fear of being judged and ridiculed, especially by your own teammates. Did you have that? How do you overcome it?
Yeah, definitely had that. And I was, like you said, it was the fear of failing, like starting it, that going down, and then having everyone kind of tell you, I told you so. But what kind of got me through it was, like, I had my wife, I had people close to me that kind of understood the aspiration that I had and supported me through that. I mean, also, I got to a point where I was like, stuff it, like, this is my life, this is our thing. And just like Census, it was like I needed a creative outlet away from rugby, because I'm a dude that if I start to think about rugby all the time, it just does my head in. So I knew I needed something. I just needed that extra push, and dealing with that fear, man, I just had close people around me. I was reading books. I was listening to podcasts that were kind of telling me to do it, keep going. Like, so pretty much I used all those voices, those positive voices, and it pretty much just allowed me to do it. And I tell you what, the hardest step in starting a business is the first step. Like, and then after that, even though the process is hard, but you just kind of learn to enjoy it. And in the space of 2 years of being in the game, I reckon I've learned so much in terms of how to run something, like all the logistics stuff in the business, than I would if I sat there and just listened to someone speak or something like that. It's taking the first step is the hardest to start something.
Yeah, nice. I often hear people say that, you know, nobody's watching. In those first steps, you sort of overthink a little bit about the fear of failure and everybody watching you. And if I do this wrong, everybody's going to critique me. But people are getting on with their own lives, and they're probably not really watching as much as you think. So you're your own worst enemy in terms of those first few steps. Just to touch on what you said there around learning skills. Now, you both have e-commerce stores, so you sell your clothing online. Obviously, that's a space where people here be thinking, okay, how do we do that? Like, I know tools like Shopify and other things, really good platforms to get going. What have you guys learned? Might start with you, Census, in that space around e-commerce, and what tools do you prefer or would you recommend?
Yeah, so we use Shopify at the moment, but I'd say the one thing that we've probably learned is to keep things simple. Over the years, especially at the start, we've had so many items that we've learned what works for us. So we've kind of stuck to having the two or three items maximum and just trying to push that out. But we also use Instagram as well for advertising. But I guess for Instagram, the one thing that we've probably also learnt is to have consistency, but to post quality rather than just trying to push stuff out just for the sake of pushing it out. But that's majority of the things I've learned over the years.
You want to see you, Adi?
Yeah, man. So we use Shopify as well. And pretty much how we got that up and running was my wife. She's pretty much the backbone of the business. For me, I do the creative design stuff because that's what I love to do, and she does all the logistical stuff in the business, which really works hand in hand. And one thing I learned about Shopify was like the email listing. So, you know, when you go onto a website and you see little things that say sign up, put your emails in. And I didn't know what that was until I learned about it, and it's like once people put in the email list, then our business can track all those people that put their emails in. And once you have that, say you might have 100 emails, you can start sending like new releases, sales to those people that put the email list, and it just becomes another income funnel for your business. Creating that, and also we use social media big time as for our marketing strategy. Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, LinkedIn, pretty much just use the whole shebang so that we're covering a whole basis of social platforms and different audience. So I pretty much run that space because I like to think that I'm quite savvy on those things and know how to push the message out. So that's what we use, is social media massively in terms of our marketing, which tries to push it to Shopify so people can come in and hopefully shop.
Yeah, nice. Hello.
Yeah. I just had a question come in just around your marketing strategy, both using social media and which you pretty much answered. But using your teammates to wear your clothing brand and promotion of mental health awareness and maximizing this during your peak of your career rather than starting late in your career is it's never too late to start, I suppose, in that area. But how have you found doing that, I suppose, you first started?
It's challenging at times because a lot of rules with New Zealand rugby in terms of sponsors and conflicting sponsors, and it just happens that my clothing brand is a conflicting brand to Adidas, and I obviously play for the All Blacks, so there's a lot of tension and a lot of uncertainty in that space. So there's a few times when the boys are ringing my gears and I'll get emails getting me into trouble. So we're still navigating that space, but I just got to keep pushing through with that, and having the boys, they're brothers, like they just want to support, anyone that's trying to grow themselves. So it's awesome having kind of that platform, to just send one of the boys some gears and they could chuck it up to their odd 100, 200K followers on Insta, and that can bring in people and showcase that. So it's been challenging, but it's also rewarding as well.
Then to build on that, like, do you have the same thing? Because on the flip side of, we talk about the power of the networking and the contacts that we've got and leveraging off them. There's also the other side where us rugby boys are usually take, and you can always give out heaps of free money. and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Bobby Lala. Where you've got to get that balance, otherwise you're giving away too much stock and you're not getting the return on investment from it. Do you have to make careful decisions here? Tough one.
Yeah, to be honest, we've kind of kept away from giving stuff away for free unless, like, we know the person has a real good following. Otherwise, we won't try and give anything away. Just the one thing that I was kind of against was, it was one of the things that I was against doing, because I knew there were other labels out there doing the same thing, giving stuff away, and I didn't want to sell out my label like that, if you know what I mean. I wanted to be able to draw people in, get them to want to buy the clothes, because if you're giving stuff away, it devalues what you're trying to achieve. And for me, like Artie, I've had a couple of the boys take a few things, but then they've emailed me and said that they were out in a couple of meetings and they had photos taken, and then they got into trouble with having our stuff on. And but for me, who cares? But at least you're getting some sort of look into that sort of platform. Otherwise, obviously they see something that goes against what they're trying to build. So no press is good press for me. So I've just kept it like that. That's how I've pretty much run everything.
Yeah, nice. Let me ask a question about stock for both of you. So there'll be players online here probably 20 or so people who have thought about clothing, done some work on Google, ended up at Alibaba, starting to think about purchasing some stuff. And I know through past experience as well, there's things like minimum orders for purchases, and some of the really bad cases, people just buy too many of something, thinking they've got a business but haven't worked out the marketing strategy, distribution, all that stuff. You got any hints in that space? Like, because obviously keeping your risk as low as possible would be key until you know you've got momentum. Is that fair?
Yeah, I know for us, we started off starting small. So like make 5 tees, wear your tee, and then if the boys or whoever starts to like them, give the, or like, then start off like that. Then the 5 goes quickly, make 10, make 20. Because the minimum orders for us is around 120 per style, per garment. So there's no point going to China and ordering 120 when you know you can't sell 10, you know, so you're just wasting a lot of money. So starting small, if you can, like that's what we've done, or that's what we did, starting small until we reached a stage where we were able to go overseas, because obviously it's cheaper to get stuff manufactured with units and stuff like that. So yeah, that was massive for us. So we didn't take that massive risk, and knowing that if people didn't buy it, then we're out of pocket straight away.
Do you sense the stock levels?
Yeah, I think we kind of learned at the start not to overbuy. I think it was our first and our second drop, we had quite a bit of stock, and I think starting out, we should have stuck to the 5 or 10 items, but instead we had a few items sitting behind. But we've learnt as the years have gone by, we haven't really tried to sample out of Alibaba because we find that a lot of the stuff that's being brought out, it's hit and miss. Like a lot of the stuff that you get, it's different from what you see on a photo, and it comes and it's just real bad quality. So a couple of years after that, we kind of sent our graphic designer and my brother-in-law out to Asia to check a couple of factories out. So they ended up finding some good quality ones, but it was costly at the start. But I think finding those sorts of factories in the end is real good for your label in the end, because you've got to make sure that you're sending out a good quality product that lasts long, because that's one of the main things about fashion, is you've got to have a product that lasts long. And if it's not, then you're pretty much shooting yourself.
Yeah, definitely, bro. I can vouch for that. I know from my own experience, you start off in Alibaba, but I remember going to China and there's factory after factory after factory, and you just got to go there and test quality, build relationships. And it's a word of advice to anybody out there, is that if you really want to take it to the next level, then that's what you have to do to get the right fabrics and the right designs. Lala, I think you had a question, bro.
Yeah, really, really good information, boys, and a lot of learnings to take from there. Now, as consumers or as public, you know, we see a lot of what you guys are doing on social media, and we see your label out there. We see the models. I think we see Lance Savali wearing Front Row Supply Company, and all the rugby players wearing your brand. So it's really clear, you know, it's out there for everyone. I just want to ask you guys about what people don't see, and the importance of that. And in this case, I'm kind of talking about tax and accountants and the numbers part of a business that people that we don't get to see. How important is that to you guys?
Hi.
Yeah, really important, man. For me, I'm still learning that trying to learn that side of the game. My wife deals with a lot of that stuff, but I remember the way, like for example, like how we priced our garments. We were just looking at other brands and we were like, oh yeah, we'll price the garments like here in the middle. Whereas when we started to see accountant, he was looking at the whole kind of whole business, and he was like, what the hell? So we thought we were running it smoothly, but the accountant kind of like put us in the right place, kind of did all our model right, and so that we could actually create cash flow in the business. Whereas in when we first started out, we were pretty much losing money, but we didn't even know. It's massive crazy having like a accountant, even like having someone for us, having someone in the clothing industry, because both me and my wife were in it, and we kind of just winged it and kind of learned it that way. But I think it's really important.
You know, census for you?
Yeah, I haven't really had to deal with our taxes because my brother-in-law deals with most of it. But I think the one thing that I've had to struggle with over the years is the time difference between us, because when we've had to meet up a couple of times with our graphic designer and my brother-in-law, that there's obviously the time differences, and that's probably one thing we've kind of struggled with, is getting everybody together in at one time. And then there's times when we've just had to deal with the background emails and that sort of thing. But other than that, we haven't really had to deal with, or well, I haven't had to deal with the taxes on our part.
Yep. So even though you're not buried in it, you've got somebody looking after it. And what I'm hearing from Marty is it's probably important to know your costs. Setting a price is one thing, but knowing what your cost of customer acquisition is, knowing what your outgoings are, your capital overheads, all those things are critical, because it all might look pretty good on the outside, but if you're losing money and don't know it, you're in trouble.
Yeah, awesome.
There's a couple of questions on the side there, Lala.
One from Xander. Have you guys measured success in your brands? And also, what is the drive for you guys to continue pursue it? I suppose your passion is what got you started, but does that change once you get into the grind of the business?
Yeah, I think for me, I'm in a different place to where Artie's at the moment. He's probably got another 10, 12 years left in his career, but I'm kind of winding down. So my goal over the next couple of years is to put in as much effort as I can, more than what I've put in over the last couple of years anyway, to make this work. I haven't had really any fears or anything about the company going bust, but what I do want to do is to try and put as much effort and as much chance of it succeeding, so I'll be able to do that over the next couple of years.
Yeah, on this side of the end, like at the start of business, how we measure success was like how many sales we made, how much money we were making, which is important in terms of keeping the business afloat. But as I've gone through this journey, I kind of went towards spreading mental well-being messages on my garments. And that was because like I started the clothing business, but there was inside me, I felt something was missing. I didn't know what it was. And I started going through this journey, my personal journey in terms of mental health. And I thought, why not put two together? So share my journey on garments and hope and see if people can resonate with that message, which kind of brought more purpose into the business. And I just found myself starting to love, just to love work. Like during the World Cup, I was up early in the morning doing stuff because I believed in the message. And how we measure success was like on social media, people messaging and saying how much the messages on the garments mean to them, sharing their journey, opening up about that. Like for me inside, I feel way more content reading that stuff than say if there was money coming through the business. So I think people ask me what the business is like, but I think for me, for now, it's just keep spreading I guess that awareness, the journey on the garments, and hopefully can sort of change people's lives.
And is that, just looking at Joe Royal's question, sort of relates to that, around diversifying your brand. So it's obviously a really saturated market. Everybody wants to be selling clothing. How important is that for you guys, in terms of finding your little niche, leveraging off your own personal brands and your networks, to create something a little bit different? Is that critical, Census?
Yep. I think with Alwyn going at the moment, it's with the way our styles have gone through the last couple of years. Also, we've just tried to see what's out at the time. So, for example, in terms of styles and that sort of thing, that retro styles stuck out over the last couple of months or even a year. So we've tried to target that sort of market. But in saying that, also it changes real quick. So it could be that in 1 month, but in a month later, it could change to something else. So you got to be aware of that sort of thing. Fashion changes so quick, but at the moment, we've kind of just tried to target the retro look more than anything.
You know, what about you, Adi?
Yeah, for us, we kind of, I kind of sit there when it's time to design something or come with a capsule, and pretty much whatever I feel, whatever I'm thinking, kind of that's where I go. It's like last year for the summer collection, I thought of Fresh Prints and that color scheme and kind of came up with designs like that. So it can change. Like Census was saying, it can change once a month or every month. But for us, I think like my learnings in our business is the more simple the garments are, the better. So we've kind of realized that a lot of our tees sell. So how we're going to base it is putting more tees out and then having other garments like kind of based around. So the tees are the main focus because they're our main seller. And then having other garments that we know have been selling well, but like don't put much stock into that, and mainly focus on the tees.
Yeah, nice.
So, boys, just got another question. So we talked about fear before. So I want to talk about trust in business, and we had a question come through about finding. Contract or company in China to make your clothes or anywhere, and how you go about finding a trusting company. I suppose an example would be, say our chairman of our Pacific Rugby Board was looking to start making designer blue deer jandals. How would he go about finding a trusting company, and how important is it? In terms of supply to make your garments.
Yeah, because I'm big on trust, and before I make a decision, I have to meet the person face to face. So my wife was kind of always nagging me to like make a decision on things because it was delaying the process. But I'm massive on actually aligning myself with good people, good humans. First, and I didn't want just to align with companies that were dodgy or someone that was running the company that was dodgy. So it took a while to make those decisions, but I was massive on face-to-face kind of meetings. And a massive thing is you can read a person. You can read someone that's got good intentions when you're face-to-face with that person. So if there was any advice, man, if you're trying to align with someone when you're starting a clothing brand, trying to align with them, make sure you can catch up with them in person, because you really get to kind of nutter them out or see what they're like, and you can base your decisions off that. If you can off that one meeting, you'll know, then you can go with them. If not, then you can just move on to someone else. But don't rush into it. Like there's some things on social media, businesses come and they want to align and it sounds mean, sometimes things that are too good to be true, you have to check it out yourself. So there's one thing, try and go over or catch up with someone in person.
You know, before we dive into a couple other questions, which are starting to think about reflection and words of advice, I just want to drill down a little bit more into the business hustle. So you're obviously pretty entrepreneurial sort of thinkers, and I know it can be pretty, it's a good buzz, right? Knowing that you have designed something, hung yourself out there, and somebody's gone online, got their credit card, purchased it, you look at your Shopify dashboard and think, oh wow, someone's bought something and paid money for something I created. I think you agree it's a buzz. But who sort of inspires you? Do you have business mentors? You mentioned Gary V before, so anybody who's hasn't heard of Gary V, V-E-E-E, podcast, unreal, I agree, he's awesome, listen to him all the time. Are there any others, might start with you first, Census, that you look up to business-wise, books you read, podcasts that you listen to?
Yeah, in business, I don't really look up to anybody. I don't try to focus on that type of mentor, but how I've learned over the years is just been listening to Gary Vee and listening to guys like Jay-Z and how they've come up and that sort of thing. It's just real life experiences have those types of people. Not so much rugby people. I don't know many rugby people that have got into business, but yeah, it's those sorts of people that really interest me. And with podcasts, I listen to, what's his name? Jay Shetty.
Yep.
Quite a bit.
Yep.
I listen to him quite a bit. But other than that, those are the people I really listen to.
Yeah,
Gary Vee is the main one also. he's a wizard. But also listen to, because sometimes I don't understand Gary because he's, probably America, hyper. But someone that kind of pretty much mimics what he says, but says it in the language that we kind of understand is Isaac John, Ice Project, pretty much base a lot of my stuff. He's kind of been a mentor as well. Just reached out to him and how he runs things. So books wise, I haven't read any business books, but mainly listen to podcasts, and some that I listen to are guys that are like in business that are in the same kind of journey now to see what they're kind of going through and trying to learn off them as well. Plant-based Māori, I listen to quite a bit.
You know, I think you probably guys don't realize that probably all learning is just by doing, and probably underrating that. And I value that massively too. I spent heaps of times in a classroom trying to study business, and to be honest, I don't know if it's the right thing to say, but it was a waste of time, because actually you just learn by doing it. All those textbooks and stuff are nothing. Just get amongst it, start learning it. But those podcasts in your downtime, like Census touched on, instead of wasting your time doing other things, learning through those sorts of things are a good time. Lala, any a couple more of those questions there?
Most of them are around reflection. So I think to sum it up, what's, just for both of you, one or two things that, we'll start with a negative here, what not to do in business?
Ooh. Don't give stuff away for free.
You were going to say that. That's the first lesson. Don't give it away for free.
I can attest to that, guys. He does not give things away for free.
Yeah, it's probably the same, eh? Free to family and stuff like that. Shucks, all the people you think that's going to support you want things for free. So just learning to say.
They kind of want a discount code.
Everybody wants a discount
code. How about choosing people that you go into business with?
But I guess it's good to have a strategy about that as well for people who are thinking, because that's going to happen, right? You've got whānau and friends that you need to. Plus, also, you probably need to know, if I'm going to give it to this rugby player or this mate, what's his following? What am I going to ask him to try and leverage for me on social media? And what's my return investment going to be? And a good tip is to often say, we only have ability to give away, say, 10% or 8% of our stock. And that's going to be enough. We've built that in. And if we do that, we're still profitable. Because if you don't, you guys back me up here, you'll get in trouble when you have nothing left to sell.
Yeah.
Just from me, boys, how enjoyable or fulfilling has it been for you guys doing something that you wanted to do on your own terms? Have you enjoyed it? Has it been fun, or has it, because I suppose especially as PIs, we think of business, we think of it as a grind, it's something a chore, something we have to do. But for you guys, has it been enjoyable? Have you loved doing it?
Yeah, I think for us, our last range that we dropped, our shorts, was probably the most exciting times for us, because not knowing they were gonna be popular and it's selling out within a day. So after they sort of sold out, I went back to my business partner and brother-in-law, and we were like, man, that's unreal, you know. And seeing from where we started from having a lot of gear stuck inside our storage to having everything go in one day, that was probably a testament to where we've come. So we want to try and pick up on that. We were in a good run at the time, and then we had the coronavirus, and then all of a sudden our manufacturer got stuck and our stuff got stuck and things. So we weren't able to just roll straight and have that roll on from where we sold out to selling the next range straight away. So that was probably one of the downfalls. But I think just our last range selling out, that was probably the tip for us.
You ready?
Yeah, Lala. Kind of love the process. I don't know what it is. Just love being challenged in new spaces, and kind of doing things outside of footy. footy's been your whole life, and then having something that you're kind of trying to work towards for after rugby is like excites me. It's been awesome, and like we're so blessed as footy players because we have an income behind us that can help. So if it does fall down, then we've got that. Where most people that try and start a business, they're putting their whole life savings into it and are living with that fear. So we have the opportunity to invest into something that we're passionate about or try and start something instead of maybe going out on the piss, using that money, saving it for a few months, and then you can invest into a business. And I tell you, just learning the game in like the space of a year, you'll be surprised how much you learn. Love the process. Daddy. Hey, Dali, Dali.
So on that, Adi, just to elaborate a bit more, would you say doing and going through this journey in business, has it made you a better rugby player?
Yes, awesome. 100%. It was real weird when I started my clothing, started doing podcasts. I got the whole, you're doing too much off the rugby field. Worry about rugby. I pretty much put my middle finger up to the people that were saying that to me, and pretty much said, you know what, I'm going to show you guys I can play well while doing all these things. I did that, and now if I play Gaia, they can't come to me and say it's because of my clothing.
You're definitely lucky you ain't playing in France, I think.
Oh, man. Shucks. Yeah.
Awesome, Marty. I suppose I'm just kind of putting it out there to players that are playing now that whether it's business or anything you're doing outside of the field, that it rather than it's something to fall back on, it's actually going to make you a better rugby player now and today. So awesome money. There's some really good stuff.
Just starting to wind it up a little bit. I might start with you, Census. If you were to look back, thinking about your own personal development, off the field, building your own skills, interests, what advice would you give yourself, a 20-year-old Census, but also advice that you pass on to the rest of the players here that are online today?
Yep. So 20 years is a long time ago for me. on a serious note, it's being confident to speak to people in higher positions, whether it be your CEO or people that are in business. Get out there and go and talk to them. There's no right or wrong way about it. You know, as I think more Pacific Islanders, we tend to chuck up walls for ourselves when it comes to that sort of thing. So it's about breaking down those walls and making sure that we're confident enough to approach them, because we're capable of it, and you learn as you go. It's all trial and error, and there's no right or wrong way about it. It's just putting yourself out there, making sure that you build your confidence up to approach those sorts of people, because I think for me at the time, I probably would have looked at those people and thought, oh, these guys are going to think I'm stupid, or that sort of thing. It's kind of like, who cares? It's just one of those walls you have to try and break down. And as the years go by, you build up your confidence, and you start getting that sort of experience to approach those types of people. But that's probably what I'd say to myself.
Nice.
Yeah, I'd say to myself to use your connections more, and what you have in the rugby circle. Just like Census kind of hit me last year, like how much access we have and how many people we have access to. You think of sponsors of our teams, you have access to the CEOs of those sponsors, but at a young age you don't know that you're the guy standing in the corner, like you're mocking the guy that's socializing. Yeah, you're mocking them. And then 5 years later you're trying to be that person. So if it was anything for myself, is to don't be afraid to approach people or reach out to people, because they're just a fan of you as well. That's why they sponsor the team. And also, and to people that are listening, is also if you're wanting to start a business and you don't know how to start off with what you're passionate about or what your purpose is, because you find what you're passionate about, you can find avenues and spaces where you can start something around that space. And when you do have a passion, it doesn't even feel like work. It just feels like you're just doing your mahi dao. You're going, and you've got that kind of underlying purpose behind you, and you won't stop or quit.
Beautiful. Just to wind it up, Lala, you got anything else? I've just got a couple of points to finish this off, unless we have any more questions coming.
I just want to touch on for all our listeners just what the boys have just said around, you know, especially Pacific Islanders approaching people in high positions. And it's important that we always speak to the person and not the status or title, because you strip away the status from anyone, they're just a normal person like the rest of us. So, you know, really take confidence in that. So when we do get opportunities to network and speak to people, make sure we're speaking to the person and not the title.
Awesome. And just to recap a little bit, so what I've heard through this like awesome session from Riku, firstly, passion is key. And what you're doing, and follow something you're passionate. Trust people that you're in business with. Business can be fun, and it's really rewarding, and it actually also helps you with be a more well-rounded person and probably a better rugby player. That you should learn your networks, use your networks, utilize the position that you're in as rugby, and learn on the run. Like, just go for it. The only thing holding you back from having a crack is probably yourself. Those are some of the things that I'm hearing. So pass it over to you two just for any final words, because from us, it's been a really valuable session. And Census, Adi, anything to finish off with?
Chop apps.
Just from me, for more the young boys or the guys that have got a few years left in their careers and that sort of thing, is just be more proactive and use time wisely. I think for me, just seeing a lot of guys playing games while they're sitting around and that sort of stuff when they could be doing other things. So just use your time wisely, really. And just we don't really have much excuse not to build something. You know, we've got so many sources available to us. There's no excuse. It's making that time count, and just using our time wisely rather than probably sitting on social media or doing things that don't really matter at the end of the day. But yeah, that's all I've got to say.
Thanks for joining us on today's show. Check out PacificRugbyPlayers.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter to stay on top of all news relating to Pacific Rugby Players and to find out when we drop our next episode of PRP Radio.